tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, After Buzzers. Is my mic on?
Yeah.
I can't hear anything. We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studios giving you everything American Horror Story Season 5. I am your host for the evening, David Skifalidi, joined as always by the lovely and talented Sarah Huggins, Elena Jordan, and Ms. Pegarra.
Hi, everyone.
Tonight we are discussing Episode 10, She Gets Revenge.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Elena is on the chat roll tonight, so if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask. And we will get to them as we get to them. You guys, it's almost done.
I know. Two more.
Crazy. There's only two more episodes, and I'm, like, a little concerned they're not going to be able to wrap everything up.
I feel the opposite. Sorry, go ahead.
Really?
Yeah, I agree as well.
But, like, there's not much left.
I feel like there's so much.
See, I feel like they have killed off many kind of secondary characters at this point, and this was the first episode that I think we started getting all of the loose ends tied up.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It's the first one that we weren't left at the end of the episode going, well, wait, but what about this person?
Right.
Which we've had every episode up to this point.
That's
mostly
true.
With the kids, that they were just started the storyline and was like, eh. Yeah. We didn't get it until very recently.
The Vampire Twins.
And we got a good balance of everyone.
Yeah.
We did get a good balance of everyone. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's still a lot that isn't explained. But I'm probably just confused.
We got some
confused.
Beautiful Liz Taylor scenes, and that's all I care about.
This was one of my favorite episodes, and I think it's just because of Liz. Everything about her in this episode is amazing.
The second the episode opened and you hear her talking, just her voiceover, it's like, oh, this is going to be good.
yeah. I mean, she, I guess we'll talk about later, getting revenge, like you were saying earlier, but also with her son coming back and bonding with him. So it was really focused on her, I think. Yeah.
It was a really beautiful episode, and I thought it was a great storyline to give Liz and a little heartwarming and sad and touching at the same time because she feels
tragically beautiful.
Yes, that's a great way to put it, tragically beautiful.
Which, from the beginning, the couple, it's like this tragically beautiful thing, and that just continues out.
She's sort of at her end, and she doesn't know if she can go on anymore.
Yeah.
Because what's the point? She doesn't know if she's going to be able to find love again. And she keeps thinking about Tristan, who's now gone. And Iris is sort of in the same boat where she's like, you know, Donovan was my only love. And
he hates her.
But I love that we see that dynamic, too, of the different types of love. You know, a mother for her son and a woman for a man. And just the dynamic that they have where it's all these different kinds of love.
Unconditional love.
They're all unconditional and they all mean where this other person, we see it with all the relationships in this episode, that somebody means more to you than your own life, than your own self.
Yeah. Even with Donovan and the Countess later on. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Holden.
Holden.
Holden is my fave.
We saw Alex
cried.
And Holden.
Oh my gosh, when they saw each other for the first time.
I
teared
so
up during one of the Liz scenes, the scenes with the sun.
Yeah.
Those were all good, but I feel like I forget which one it was.
Well, let's get into that then. So Liz and Iris sort of make a pact.
A suicide pact, which was
a suicide pact,
hilarious, actually. Like, it was pretty funny.
But touching at the same time.
Yeah, like, all the armory.
It was.
It was a very comical take on a suicide pact.
It was, but I think it was really well thought out in the way that, you know, let's not kill ourselves now. Let's get all of our ducks in a row and figure everything out. Because if we kill ourselves here, we're going to be stuck here forever. And let's not do that. At least if we're going to do it, let's do it right.
Right.
Thank goodness Iris was there to be like, oh, really? You just want to get out of this place?
Right.
Maybe don't kill yourself here and be stuck here forever then. And she's like, oh, God, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. How did she not think of that?
I would be, if I worked in that hotel, I would constantly be like, okay, don't trip on the rug. Don't, right. like, this is not where I want to spend eternity.
You have to think about it. Like, if that's your everyday and that's your norm, you forget.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like being on a reality show. Sometimes you just forget that the cameras are there.
I love that they had the reality show reference.
That was really funny.
So good. I was like, okay, so reality TV can have some redeeming qualities.
Yes. Yeah.
So says our fictional TV shows that I use as gospel.
Can we talk about Iris's tribute video?
Oh my God.
I wish we would have died laughing.
I was laughing.
Yes. Yeah, with the kitty
the
cats
song,
of like
the cat.
I wish we would have seen a little bit more of it than just like, you know, animated kitties. And
I think that's going to be a DVD bonus.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It'll be like, you can watch the whole video and then we'll buy the DVD.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I thought it was nice that she's, you know, it's something that she worked hard on and she knows that, like, when she does pass, unfortunately, there's going to be no one to tribute her. So she wants to make sure that she can tribute herself and find a way to have everlasting life in quotation marks.
Well, she wanted to be a beacon of hope for her three Instagram followers.
Right.
You never know. You never know whose life you're going to change.
I thought that was such a cool thing, too, because they're showing the different types of love, and then we are seeing more of Iris showing herself love and kind of coming into her own, and we see all of them have been kind of reborn. Even John, they reference, like, the new John and the new Iris and the new... And so it's these people who were finally, from the beginning, were self-loathing. And now, oddly enough, when they're saying that they want to end it because they have nothing else, that's the first time that we really see her paying tribute to herself and really, like, showing that she loves herself.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Inevitably, they decide not to do it.
Right.
As we saw, but it's through the love of Liz's son, Douglas, who comes to see her, because that is the one thing that Liz has unfinished business with.
Right.
She decides that she's like, I need to see my son one last time because I haven't seen him in 31 years. I've sent him checks for 31 years. They've always cleared, so I know he's receiving them, but I need to see him one last time and patch things up.
So Douglas knew the whole time, obviously, but she didn't know that he knew.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Right.
And I did not know that Douglas knew.
I didn't either.
I didn't.
See, Sarah did.
As soon as, you know, I think it was at the end of his, like, first scene with him, or them together, and he was like, do you want another drink? It's on me, Liz was. And his son goes, no, I'm good. He's like, I think I'll go. Like, you could tell something was...
maybe next time or something.
Maybe next time. Like, you could tell he was, like, weirded out because they had been talking about the whole father-son situation.
See, I thought something completely different. I thought that he was interested in Liz.
That's what I thought,
too. I thought
they
were going to hook up. Like, this is going to be the guy that's going to, like, make him forget about Tristan or something. I don't know.
I did think that it was, like, a little bit of sexual tension. Like, I thought... But, or... You know,
maybe they did that on purpose.
Bonding.
It's kind of like an Oedipus thing where they're also talking about, like, different, like, oh, is it going to go that way? No, come
on.
No.
Right.
Will they or won't they?
Ooh.
Well, thankfully they did.
Because
Liz, even if we didn't know that Douglas knew that Liz was his father, Liz knew that Douglas was her son.
Yeah, and that would have been...
So I doubt that she would have crossed that line.
We're not going Game of Thrones with this. We're going to stay hotel.
That reference is way above my head.
Me
incest.
Too.
I know, I get that.
That's it.
I just don't watch that show. Whatever. That's not for here.
But it was beautiful.
But it was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Him to go. Liz encouraged the son to go to Boulder.
And to... forget it all and just follow your dreams and do what you want to do.
Aww.
And that was, it was beautiful.
I love that too. When he was saying, there's plenty of room for more women in my life too, because Liz was so worried about being accepted and would have been just heartbroken if her son had shunned her as well. So I'd love that they show that maybe the thing that you're most scared of, the fear of it is significantly worse than if you just addressed it.
It's very true.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like she was okay until Iris started like putting that fear in, because she really like laid it on thick, because she obviously has a messed up relationship with her son.
Let's be honest, it is a legitimate fear.
Right, of course.
For anyone who's going to be coming out as a trans woman to their son, whom they haven't seen in 31 years,
right.
after they abandoned them as a child, I mean, it's a legitimate fear that they're not going to accept you.
Of course.
As you and I discussed earlier, as unpopular as this may sound, it's a Ryan Murphy show. There's no way that he would have included a character like this if the character wasn't going to accept Liz for who she is.
Right.
At least not this late in the season.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Had it been maybe like episode 2 or 3, we could have maybe seen some of that tension, but...
Because we would have seen that arc and the growth and then the final acceptance.
But to be honest, it wasn't really necessary, this sort of storyline, until now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad they brought it back, because when we got Liz's backstory to begin with...
It was incredible.
And said, you know, here's my young son... The whole time I'm sitting here like, why is Hazel not pissed off that Liz is just cool with, you lost your son? I just ditched mine. I don't bring it up. It's fine. You know? So I'm glad they finally wrapped that up. Because I was wondering, too. I was like, well, what happened to that?
I don't know. I guess I didn't think about it.
I mean, when Liz said that she was sending checks, I just thought that was, like, all we were going to kind of see of that.
I thought that was going to be all that we saw, but I was kind of disappointed. So I was extra happy
I'm super glad they cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a great moment.
Then Liz had a will to live.
Yeah.
And more screen time, which
And more screen time, which we love. And it sort of transposes her will to live onto Iris. And she says, you know what? We are women of a certain age. Mm-hmm. It is time for us to have our second coming. And let's take over the hotel. Let's spruce it up.
Turn things around.
Turn things around and get the good times going.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of why I love Ryan Murphy so much, too, is because he's so somewhat over heavy-handed in some cases, but very clearly breaks the Hollywood stereotype of once you hit an age, if you were a woman, you were no longer of value to the industry. I love that he blatantly is like, and the opposite should be happening, because these are the women who know what's up.
Sometimes it does get a little preachy with it, but...
I think this season he's been really good about having a very light touch on his policies.
Messages. Yes.
However you want to state it, but
PSAs.
PSAs.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, open to interpretation on a lot of things. Yeah.
Which is good.
I like that, too, yeah.
It's been an interesting season.
It has been. I'm very curious about the next 2 episodes.
I am, too.
Because this one could have been a finale to me.
Really?
To me, it really could. There would have been some unanswered questions, but it could have ended, and I would have been like, okay, that was... pretty bomb finale.
It would have, I agree with you. And if you remember back at Freak Show's winter finale, you remember we said the same thing. We're like, we would have been happy if this was the finale. They do a really good job at wrapping up.
Yeah.
Or was it not the finale? It was like the second to the last episode. We're like, what else is there? Like, we were satisfied.
That's also because Freak Show sort of didn't go anywhere.
Right. Okay. Like, Coven had to have the last episode. We found out who the Supreme was on the last, the last episode.
But I agree with you, Sarah. Like, this maybe 1 or 2 loose ends. Like, is Gaga still alive?
Right.
What's happening with John and Sally, that thing?
Right.
But other than that, I was pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of that, too, is because, again, this is the first episode that we've seen all the storylines addressed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that that will be the case for the finale as well, and that they won't split the next 2 episodes into here are these storylines, and then here are these storylines. Because that, I think, would disappoint me.
Yeah.
I love when they touch on all of them.
Yeah.
Me too. It's so much better.
Makes it more fun for us as viewers. Speaking of people who are having fun, John is just living it up.
Oh. Embracing his serial killer life.
Embracing his serial killer life.
Yeah.
So what I had at least predicted, I don't know if you guys were in the same boat, but he did not kill the vampires as being the false gods. He killed this group of God knows what, because we only saw like a flash of it. Who the hell knows what they were?
Well, the Santa Muerte is, it's Spanish for holy death, and it's this kind of subcult that has spawned, and it's the personification of death that's associated with healing, protection,
so they sort
and
of
the
worship
safe delivery
death?
To the afterlife. Hmm. Yeah, kind of like Dia de los Muertos, where it's like a celebration of death. The holy death, or the woman who's in the skeleton, is, and for different ones, they'll have different colored robes, and they can mean different things, and whatever, it's, I don't know, just different ritual things. But I thought that it was interesting that they had, for it to be a false god, is one that is the personification of death as a safe travel from life into death, the one who is responsible for being kind of the beacon to shine you from one state of being to the next, and that was the one that he attacked. So it's almost like we see John as a serial killer, not as somebody who, because we've had the references that they say not all death is murder, not all killing is murder.
Right.
But we see very specifically, no, his is murder. He is directly attacking the idea of death as an artistic, beautiful thing, as just a passage into another life. Hmm. He's literally destroying that idea by stabbing it to death.
Wow.
That is interesting.
Elena, you're so smart.
Look, I have so much information.
That's my only one, so.
Great.
Yeah. You only get one.
I mean, I don't know how you got all that information from that quick little flash, but I'm glad you were able to find something, because I was very confused as to why he chose these people. But with that being said, I mean, it sort of, you know, makes sense to an extent. I mean, if you want to look at it from a Christian perspective, that would be, you know, breaking a commandment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's religion, so it's sort of like, it's up in the air. All of it's up in the air for interpretation as to, like, I can't talk about religion on here. Sorry. It makes it difficult to be PC.
Got it.
Yes. I mean, I think that the show does a good job, though, touching on all of it and touching on how within these parameters of the Ten Commandments killer, they are adhering to this one doctrine.
Right. They are adhering to a very Christian pathology. That is not the right word. Ideology.
Right.
And he is attacking a group of people who do not follow the same doctrine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
He Which cuts is off his their own ears. Perverted version of this doctrine.
Right.
Because, you know.
He is murdering.
Yeah.
I didn't really. There goes my pen. I didn't really understand why he cut off their ears, though. Did you guys catch that? So he cuts off their ears as being, I guess maybe they're listening to the false prophet.
Oh, yeah. That would be a good point.
Which BTW reminded me of Freak Show, the jars with the body part.
Yeah. Yes.
I was like, I've seen this before. Same props.
So all he has left now is Thou Shall Not Kill.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've said before, we're waiting for him to kill himself, but it doesn't really look like he's going to.
No, he's got a new lease on life.
He does. Yep. He's completely embraced the side of himself. And it's even commented on by Alex, who says, you look whole. There's something different in your eyes.
You're
complete now.
I'm really glad that they admitted to being horrible parents.
Oh, yeah.
Were you guys not like, yes, thank you.
But I did like that Alex was like, when John's feeling guilty about Scarlett, and Alex is like, oh, it's probably for the best. But I'm like,
it is for the best.
Yes, like, granted, you're both piss poor people and a horrible parent. You're both murderers. You drink blood. You just stab people for funsies.
Right.
Neither one of you are a good role model.
I would not call Alex a murderer.
She's not a murderer. She is a very misguided attempt at trying. I'm like, you.
She's very confused.
But at least turn Scarlet and have her be with them forever,
Scarlet doesn't want that life.
Yeah, she doesn't want that.
She's so sad.
Might as well just let her live out the rest of her life with her grandmother.
Become
have like a happy,
vampire
normal, like, childhood, grow up, and, like, not be surrounded by a serial killer for a father,
Fine.
A vampire for a mother, and vampire for brother.
I still just want spin-off series where Scarlett is the new Buffy.
I mean, it would be great. Yes. Why not?
I just think it needs to happen.
It can happen.
Buffy who can bake.
Yeah. She shows up. She has the steak in the pie, and it's just like, surprise, eat this.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, that would be interesting.
At least they talked about her, though, this week.
I know. At least they mentioned her. Yeah.
Like
so, but it
part
does
of me
seem...
thinks it would be such a bummer to be cast as that actress, too, where they're like, you're going to be a main part that we occasionally reference.
She's not on Ray Donovan this whole
she's
last
cool.
season.
Oh,
that's true.
I think she was busy.
She's good. I think she was good.
Yeah. Whatever. It's a great role regardless.
Yeah,
but it seems like, you know, we've heard the last of Scarlett. I don't think we'll be seeing her again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the point?
You got two episodes.
Huh? I know, but like, what's the point of bringing her back if John and Alex have both decided to, like, you know, leave her with Grandma because that's where she's going to have the best life.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if she just showed up, though.
And she was like, what's up, guys?
Yeah, she's like, hey, I'm back from Grandma's. Final episode.
Watch, she kills John and it's like, accidentally or something.
Biggest twist.
Yeah.
They
could
throw that would be a ridiculous twist.
She's
that would
running
be
the
too
hotel.
Big a twist.
she
just
it
shows
now.
Up. Yeah. You just see the whole place explode, and it's just like, Scarlett. Ah. Like, that's the end.
Like, gotcha, away. Bitch.
Yeah,
I would love for the last lines of the series to be gotcha, bitch.
Or what was it, Donovan amazing. To Valentino? He was like, bitch, please.
Yeah.
Did you guys want to
fighting?
It was awesome.
But let's wrap up Alex and John.
Okay.
John is having, you know, this back and forth with Sally, which is really sad. Like, Sally's trying to, like, keep him there, and she's like, what we have, you're never going to have with anybody else again.
Mm-hmm. I have a prediction about that, and I can't wait to say it.
Okay so hold on to that.
I'm holding on.
We'll remind you.
Okay.
But I found it really sad that, you know, once Alex was like, you know, maybe we should just give this another try, without saying it, because she doesn't actually say that to him.
Right.
He sort of is like, you know what, Sally, I've had my fill of you.
Well, I mean,
you know, he flat out says that they were, you know, an addict's high, and that was when she is asking, was I just your whore? And he's saying this was a temporary thing. And I love that she points out, I was here for you for 5 years.
Yeah.
When you weren't even there for yourself, when you didn't even know yourself, I knew all of you. I knew both parts. No one else did.
And I loved you, warts and all.
Yeah.
But no one ever appreciates that.
Like, but I did.
But also, at the end of the day,
they don't.
At the end of the day, how is he going to have a relationship with a ghost who cannot leave this one particular space?
Right. Yeah, they were
unless
only good
he
for each
also
other.
Offs himself.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Or just dies in the
or
hotel.
Or she kills him.
Yeah.
Like
which
she
tried
threatens
to do.
I also love that we see the flashes of the, like, Drildo addiction demon. And so we know, like, there's a deeper psyche.
Yeah.
I want to see how they address all of that.
It's been a while, and we haven't seen him for most of the season, and they touched on it so briefly that it would be nice to, like, know just a little bit more before the season's over.
Right, and know exactly what is the deal that March and Sally have that is related to...
Right.
Because they reference it, but they don't fully flesh it out. And they keep referencing, you know, the addiction and even showing that certain types of love... It's just an addiction and isn't actually the deeper level, and it's an unhealthy relationship and an unhealthy thing. But it's so surface level with just little references instead of giving us a full, I don't know, I guess just because I feel like the rest of the storylines, they do kind of beat you over the head. Like,
right.
They do.
Yeah, they're like, oh, here's the soft allusion to the point. And also, if you didn't get that, we're going to say dialogue so you know this is the point.
Exactly.
And that's the only one that's like, ooh, what is it?
That's true.
Yeah, I really hope they delve into it. It's just, we have two more episodes.
They
have
might
to.
Not, so I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't.
Okay, so then
I'd
if they don't, what are we leaving with? Like, what's the takeaway?
Yeah, it would be like if they never...
Well, that's what we've kind of, like, wondered from the beginning, is what is the central... Like, what are we supposed to be caring about?
Exactly.
Like, so it's like, I don't know. I don't think that's it, though.
Up until this point, we still haven't really figured that out.
Right. No,
we
I know.
We still don't know the central
And
dramatic.
So I'm hoping that in the next two episodes, maybe everything will come together and we'll be like, oh, okay.
We'll see, like, what the main story arc was.
Yeah.
Because we're on episode 10. There's two left.
Right.
And we don't know what the main story arc is.
I really feel like it's something with the Countess. And,
I do, too.
This is probably better for predictions, but, like, the Countess and Iris and, you know, taking the hotel.
It makes sense with the way that the episode ended.
Right.
But I guess we'll have to wait and see till next week. But
I think the main story arc is just the hotel. Like, that is the story. Like,
that's our main character?
The, everything that happens has to do with that, is related to that.
But the best stories are one that have a very clear central dramatic question. They pose, this is the question, and then other things happen, and then at the end you get the answer to the question,
right.
And that's how you know that it's done.
So maybe the question is, what's happening to the hotel? Or, like, what's going to happen to the hotel? Is it going to survive after Gaga? Or
who is going to take it over? What is it going to become?
It's like the ownership of, exactly.
What's its next transition?
Is it going to be, like, a happy place like Liz wants it to be?
Right. Well, we've seen the transitions of these other characters, so I guess that does kind of make sense.
Yeah.
The hotel itself has gone through so many different life cycles from when March had it versus...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and it always has had that dark, dramatic undertone, but will it be able to break that cycle of being this Hotel California, hell on earth, addictionville that you're trapped in, or will you be able to break out of that and have it ultimately become something that's a healthy, positive thing?
Right.
I think the answer is going to be no.
Yeah, I definitely think the answer is no.
Speaking of positive and healthy people, the Countess.
Ugh.
Invites Natasha over to the hotel, which we saw in the previous episode,
right.
With the intention of killing her, and she does. What she does not know is that Donovan then goes to the motel where Valentino is staying and kills him.
Right.
Which is I just amazing. Loved that both of them brought a knife to a gunfight.
Right?
Like, quite literally.
Well, yeah, because,
like,
what do they know?
Yeah.
Both Natasha and Valentino had
been
knives.
Locked
and
up.
They were like, I'm going to kill you with this knife. And they're like, oh, please.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And they both had guns.
Like, that's a big F you. When you're like, we've been trapped for centuries. We're finally free. And before we even know what a gun is, we're shot in the head.
They had guns
individually
before they got trapped in that
That's
wall.
True.
That's true.
That's true. So, they should be better than
they
this.
They should be better
they
at everything.
Know. Also... If I was trapped for centuries in the wall of a place, I wouldn't be like, oh, let's hang out here more.
I would
be like,
run.
Let's never
well,
come
exactly.
back.
It's like a little bit of a safe zone. I don't know.
I like when Donovan...
I would run so fast in the opposite direction.
What does he say after he kills Valentino?
I have better cheekbones anyway. So good. Because Donovan realizes at this point that the Countess has been trying to create all of her... lovers or what have you, companions in his image, in Valentino's image. And he's like, you know what? I'm a better version of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that he even references that, you know, directly to her when we see later on when she finds out that he has killed Valentino.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, and she's, you know, completely heartbroken until he makes it clear, well, I had to kill him while he made you... You made me in his image, and I can never live up. I'm always going to be a shadow to the memory of this person. And if you're going to kill me, that's fine. If that's the only way that I get to love you, then I'm okay with that because that's how much I love you. And it's not until she fully understands his willing to sacrifice himself that she forgives him. And it's almost this... Almost a sweet moment.
It was a sweet moment.
Until they're like, oh, joke's on you. Boom.
Well,
until
Liz and Iris come in. Before all that.
There was some hotline bling.
There was some hotline bling.
Oh, my gosh.
Which.
There they are with that pop culture.
It was pretty amazing.
It's amazing.
So bizarre to me.
Why?
It's sort of like, okay, I get like, including the song because it is such a popular song right now.
Right.
One, that song drives me completely insane.
Me too.
Two, but that's beside the point. And it did sort of make sense, like the lyrics to the song do sort of make sense to like what's going on in their environment.
Right.
But it's just like, I don't...
You didn't enjoy it?
I don't need to see that. You know what I mean?
Like, you've seen enough people. I hear that song like, now, and I just think of, like, Trump dancing on SNL. And that's not what I want to think of in an important moment. Like, I'm just like, ugh, ugh.
Hopefully this replaced that in your mind.
It's just, it's awful. Like, I just, to me, it was like they took a great scene, and it's beautiful, and then somebody just farts. Like, it was
it could have been any song.
I loved it. I thought it was fabulous.
I wanted him to, like, bust out with
me
the drink.
Too.
I was, like, waiting for it.
S. Beamer 77 just says Hotline Bling in all caps. Yes. So,
yeah, I mean,
okay,
everyone
fine.
Loved it, you guys.
Everyone loved yes. it because see? It was fun to, like, see, you know, Matt Bomer dancing to Hotline
Doing
Bling.
Doing pretty much anything.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. But, like,
just being.
I kind of didn't need that particular
Hotline
song.
Hotline Bling, yeah. Because I just think...
It could have been any song.
Any song like that biggest, isn't a meme, that isn't like, right oh, remember how bad Drake is at dancing? Here's Donovan. Like, right.
Also not dancing well to it. Yeah. We know he can dance.
Hotline Bling is just the song that you play when you're too drunk to actually dance well and people forgive it. Like,
I play it all the time. I like it.
So you're saying you're constantly drunk?
I just play it when I'm, like, getting ready in the morning.
It does get stuck in your head, which can be a very, very painful thing.
And everybody has a version of that song yes. on the radio right now. Like, but literally, there's five different
Did you see the one with, like, Bryan Cranston and a bunch of actors reading the lyrics?
No.
It is amazing. God. If you guys haven't seen it.
But, David, I'm with you. The lyrics.
Yes, the lyrics do, like, it melds up with, like, what's going on in our world.
Exactly.
So I get why they used it. Okay.
But I'm just thinking, whatever. Like, episode one, Hotel California, and it's so perfectly placed,
right?
And, oh, this is a great soundtrack to this episode where it's like, Hotline Bling, and I'm like, oh, God.
I just liked it because he had his drink, and he
and was,
like,
cheesy,
in his room.
And it was cheesy, and I like that.
Yeah, and he was, like, going to turn up.
Yeah.
Was, I don't know. I just...
I'm into it too.
Drake. I just have had a problem with Drake since, like, started from the bottom. I was like, you started with Degrassi, now you're here. I don't even want to hear it, Drake.
We will not get into that.
All right.
Not now.
Not now.
Please. But that's whatever. It was an interesting episode. We got to wrap up with the tweens.
Yeah.
Which I was happy about.
So
I was
glad.
Like, thank God.
Finally.
They're coming to the hotel. They get locked behind that wall with Ramona.
Who I feel like is completely underutilized this season.
She has. Angela Bassett has been completely underused the entire season. I would have loved to have seen her a lot more. Hopefully we're going to get a lot more of her in the last two episodes because that character is fantastic.
But I don't think
so.
We're going to.
And I do
I
not
think
we're
they
going
have
to.
Her at this point just to kill off the kids because, you know, she says, oh, I smell appetizers.
Well, I do have a prediction about...
Hold on to that, please.
Yes, I will. I will, here's but it's
pen.
An
write
educated
it
one. No, I already know it.
Okay.
I already have.
That's right, Adrian Kidd in the chat. Started from Degrassi, now we're here. Sorry, I'll let it go now.
This is the chat's like a little bit behind us.
I did that's also good. Like that they used, I mean, not to harp on Hotline Bling, but that they still had it going when Liz and Iris bad. Came in with the gun.
That was
awesome.
So badass.
It was. Like
I just love that they had, because we were talking about last episode that she wants revenge, which was clearly Ramona.
Yes.
And then we knew the title was She Gets Revenge, and we were thinking, oh, it's going to be the Countess. It's
right.
going to be the Countess's spin, or maybe someone, it's not going to be Ramona, it'll be the Countess. And was Liz.
It was Liz and Iris.
And it's like, oh, well,
they came in.
On your writers.
Well,
I didn't see that one. I like it.
They came into the room, both with two guns ablazing, shot every bullet in the barrel, both barrels, all four barrels for that matter. And
there's no way. I don't know.
That they missed?
Right. Yeah. But I know.
How many times in these two persons' lives have they had guns in their possession and shooting? I don't imagine that, like, shooting a gun and being a good shot is an easy thing, even if you do have two guns.
But like, I also feel... Yeah, they're not stormtroopers. Like, they're gonna make at least one shot. Like,
maybe.
They're gonna.
Yeah, I feel like it might hit someone in, like, a leg or something. Like, nothing fatal.
Okay.
I don't think the Countess is gonna die, but I could see Donovan being
no
like.
No way.
I feel can. Like anytime somebody starts to find love and happiness, they're like, and now you're dead.
And bye.
And now
Yeah, his purpose is pretty much gone.
Yeah,
I can see him being dead. Not
because Donovan's purpose
is gone. I feel like
gone.
Donovan didn't even have his own story arc, really. I feel like he was more just an accessory to further other people's storylines.
I thought something that was really cute was the hotel maid. I can never remember her name.
Mrs. Evers.
Oh, with the washer and dryer.
With the OxyClean.
And the washer and dryer.
She was like, oh my.
It's like
so
there's
cute.
Oxygen in these bubbles.
I feel like that was her unfinished business.
It was getting a stain out.
Blood stains out.
I think her unfinished business was also just being appreciated because, you know, she's this mom who lost her kid early on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to some degree blames herself, fell in love with March, who didn't have the same feelings for her. It was just any time that there
was the same feelings for her. He was just hypnotized
by the Countess and saying, you know, basically, you're always going to be second fiddle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for her now to finally have somebody say, thank you, this meant something to us, and here is a gift for you to show appreciation.
I do still feel like her unfinished business is somehow tied in with March.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think so, too.
Or the Countess.
I think her purpose has just become the hotel, though, now.
Yeah. Right.
It's almost like it's less unfinished business and more just a completely new purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's one of the few spirits that roam the halls that isn't causing harm to other people. Mm-hmm.
I love her.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, she's just very helpful.
She's very helpful.
That they had the, you know, the OxyClean that was the oxygenated cleaning, because it's like, I think was almost a direct reference into, oh, so now you can finally breathe on your own. Like, this is the first time that you've gotten to breathe life into your own story. Because up until this point, like, it really was. She was just kind of either there for comedic effect.
Right.
We got her one storyline, but even that was just to parallel with John. Mm-hmm. So
it's true.
It was a nice little wrap up for
her.
It was cute.
And I totally feel you, because when I got my washer dryer, I was just as excited. Hazel.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know what I just did. I don't know what's wrong with me. But that was our episode, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A good one.
Totally.
A full one.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of news and gossip. Do you guys want to jump into that?
Yes.
Okay. AfterBuzz TV News.
Why are you looking at me like that, Sarah?
Oh, but what is it?
Okay. We are getting a new character next week. Spoiler alert, it has been announced.
What?
We saw it in the preview.
Oh, that was part of my prediction.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but like...
Well, we know who...
Gabourey Sidibe is coming back to American Horror Story.
But
But it looks like she is Queenie.
Which makes sense, because then she'll be in cahoots with Ramona.
Would she be in cahoots with Ramona? Why would she be in cahoots with Ramona? Just because she's
black? Because, like, the whole witchy object of it. I don't know. I feel like she's going to bring her something.
Maybe she gets her out. I don't know. But why, though?
Yeah.
I don't remember them being...
I feel...
Does anyone remember how Queenie ended in Coven? She was at the school, and she was going to be a teacher, right?
Yeah, she was still alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I did read... Well, I don't want to get too spoilery, but I think they're going to have something to do with each other. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
I am fine with that, but it does look like Queenie is coming to American Horror Story, or it could just be another character.
Yeah, I think
you know, just...
Lord, with this season, it could be six different characters played by the same person, and they all get shot in the head.
Right? Yeah. Which was
never... But in different outfits.
Which was never, ever addressed that Tristan Valentino looked exactly the same.
I know!
Which is fine.
And I'm also like, aw, Finn, you died twice. Yeah.
Let's move on to predictions.
And
now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Pega, we're starting with you, but you said you had one.
I know, and I forgot it. Now I just... Okay, I think... John.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sally's going to be the one that does it. That is the best thing that's ever happened in my life, ever.
This is how we love having Phil.
Yeah. So I think that's going to happen. I don't think that he's going to kill Gaga.
You think that's happening next week, or you think that's happening in the next two episodes?
I think next week. Okay. I think ultimately John needs to die next episode.
Okay.
And then Gaga needs to die the last episode.
Okay.
They can't do it both in the same. I don't know. There's too big of, there's too much happening. So I think Sally's going to kill John, Liz or Iris is going to kill Gaga and just like take over the whole hotel and turn things around. And that's it.
Okay. I like that. Yes, Elena?
I don't think that the Countess is dead, especially because we had that scene with Will Drake and the whole, you know, well, I'm going to turn Lachlan because he's still, even though I can't liquidate the assets. I also, too, love that, we didn't really touch on this, but that March was like, why did you kill him in the hotel?
Right.
Thank you. Finally.
Yeah.
Acknowledge. Stop killing the people you don't want around in the I will stay here forever place.
Right.
Anywhere else is great.
Convenience.
But I think that she's not dead because I don't think her storyline is done. And we do see in the preview a little bit of her, but Ryan Murphy is so good with those like flashbacks and things that you never know quite what to expect.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think ultimately, I don't think they're both going to die in the same episode. I'm with you on that one. Mm-hmm. I kind of think Ramona, because they were setting it up to kill the kids, I think she's going to have her own little mini vampire army, and it's going to be Ramona and her evil babies versus the Countess and her innocent.
Wait,
yeah.
You think the evil babies are still alive? Oh, wait, sorry.
The vampire children.
The twins.
Not Bartholomew and
So the ones in the room with her?
Yeah. I think she's going to find a way to take them and almost, because they both have, she and Max both have that slightly off, something is very wrong, and if somebody or something is not directly serving them, then they see no purpose for it. Okay. So I could see them kind of being like, all right, well, let's take this bitch over. You say there's strength in numbers, Max, like we see that when he has all of his people coming out. I think Ramona is like, okay, try to put me back in that Iron Maiden. I have a little village of my own now. And I got this idea from you.
Interesting.
I have no name. That's what I was thinking on the chat.
What?
I have no name. And then, interesting name. I like it. And all caps says, that's what I was thinking. So I'm glad we're on the same page.
Okay. All right.
I hope you find
it. Sarah, you're good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just feel like I feel like I've read a lot of things, and I just don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
So I'm afraid of doing predictions.
No, that's totally fine.
You know.
Yeah.
I think my only prediction is I feel like Liz and Iris are going to find, I think they did kill the Countess and Donovan, and I think they're going to find a way to get the spirits and help them finish their unfinished business so that they can clean up the hotel and run like a legitimate business.
You think that the Countess, you think Gaga is gone?
Yeah.
Really?
I
don't think so.
Ever in a million years.
I know she's probably not. Chances are she's not.
I could see Donovan being dead.
I could see them both being dead and living on as spirits in the hotel.
Yeah. Because they're wheeling out somebody's dead body. But I think it's Donovan.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have any more of a story arc.
Or it could be Drake's.
That's true.
It could be. Oh. But I feel like because they show him, and because of his disappearance, and he's saying, I've been supervising the renovations or whatever, that it's not going to be, I think it's going to be one of those that we don't get resolution for his death, that people just think that he is alive and now he wants to live on as a legacy.
But if they didn't kill Gaga, there's no way that they can continue living in that hotel. Gaga's going to be coming to kill them. Like, she knows what they're after. So there's not going to be like, okay, well, let's just wheel this body out and carry on with our day. Yeah. It's like, Gaga's coming after you now.
Yeah.
So, and something's happening.
That would have to happen. And then, because then that would give Ramona and her little vampire babies some purpose, too, because then they all have this common enemy. So if it gets eliminated early on, then it's like, well, where are they going to go for the right. next two episodes?
Unless that scene that we saw of Iris and Liz coming in yielding their guns didn't actually happen.
That's possible. Mm. It's possible, but...
Because we didn't see anything else other than...
Right, we only saw them. So it could have just been like... a flash forward to a dream or like an imagination of one of either characters.
We don't see the fallout. We just see.
Well, we did see when they first came in and we saw the Countess. She was like.
But she could have been reacting to anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
They are very tricky with a show. And they can make you.
Tricky.
They're good with misdirection.
Any chance that we think, well, if Gabrielle Sidibe is Queenie, that she could bring some sort of cure for the vampire.
Does she
situation.
Have? I don't think she has that power to heal.
A vampire cure?
I forget if she, like, I want to go watch Coven again.
I know. If it's Queenie, we'd have to watch it again, but I don't remember her having that power to heal.
She just has the.
No, she had other ones. She definitely did have other ones because they did the.
Let's think about what she had. Like, what do you remember?
We'd have to go back and watch the episode where they do the Supreme test.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Wasn't it like she can make people feel pain or something? Wasn't that her?
Well, she could, like...
She was like a human voodoo doll.
Yeah. Yes. She was a human voodoo doll. But there were a couple other powers that she did end up having. Mm. But I just don't remember if that was one of them.
Interesting.
Somebody in the chat also mentions that they... Potential spoiler, just heads up, that they read that Sarah Paulson is going to play her season one character again.
Right.
And so I feel like if they are really bringing in all of these characters playing their, you know, from previous seasons, I could see, I don't know, that makes me kind of nervous this late in the season because I don't want it to be where the rest of the story arc has been wrapped up now and they're just throwing things in.
Well, Sarah Paulson's character, we've talked about this before, is coming back playing her season one character.
She's a medium.
And she's going to be a medium and she's going to be filming a reality show at the hotel.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's going to be in our final episode. That's why I feel like
Gabourey's
not playing Queenie.
Yeah, because it
you
doesn't
don't think
fit.
So? She looked
but
very
the witch,
similarly dressed.
I just feel like it doesn't fit.
You don't want to know what I'm thinking.
It
doesn't fit. It doesn't. It wouldn't make sense. She could be there as a location scout.
Having a medium there makes sense. Having a witch there is like, what? Why is there a witch now?
I mean, there's vampires. There's all kinds of stuff happening. Like,
true.
That doesn't
that's
shock
true.
Me
that's
at all.
That's like just having, like, a Frankenstein Tristan show up and then being like, also this.
But lately they've been, like, having, you know, they want to give us these little ties to the previous seasons.
True.
And I feel like it could just be, like, one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, that's her. That's the tie.
I would just love to see Liz and Iris and Hazel just like a trifecta of like, let's clean this up literally and figuratively together.
Yeah.
And I hope that we get actual plot and more storyline and not just
exposition.
Yeah. It could potentially be filler.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I don't want to watch Hazel use her washing machine for 20 minutes. I want to see something interesting.
I would love that. But where can everyone find you guys
you can find
for the next couple weeks?
On Twitter. Yeah, January 4th we're coming.
January
6th.
Twitter and Instagram at Pegarad.
And you can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan. That's A-L-A-N-A. And on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
And I am on Twitter at Sarah on the Go, Sarah with an H, and Sabra627 on Instagram.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skiff. That's with the letter U and spelled out S-K-I-F-F. We are back January 6th. So until then, everybody, have a happy holiday, a safe new year. We'll see you in 2016.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.